This is a special program brought to you with the compliments of PMRC. And from PMRC, I do have the executive director, Miss Bernadette Dacre. Bernadette, hello, and welcome to Radio Christian Voice, and welcome to Chatback.
Thank you. Good morning to you, Mr. Chatewa, and good morning, listeners.
Is this the first time that you're coming to Chatback?
Chatback, yes. Radio Christian Voice, no.
We are excited to have you here. First of all, we want to have an understanding. What is the mandate of PMRC? And maybe even as you look at that, maybe give the listeners a background. How was this organization birthed in the first place? Where does it come from?
Right. So PMRC, short for Policy Monitoring and Research Center, was incepted in 2012 with a mandate to complement and supplement government's efforts and policy reforms from the birth of policies all the way to implementation. PMRC is a baby, it's a think tank of the Patriotic Front.
Okay.
And it was formed with a view of bridging gaps of policy issues that are reflected in the Patriotic Front manifesto, translating it to the national development plans.
Okay.
I say national development plans because there are a lot of different plans within ministries and coming to the all-encompassing one, which is the national one.
Okay.
So PMRC's role is to research on different policy issues, offer recommendations to different government departments, to the presidency, as well as to different parliamentary committees. So all in all, it is a public policy think tank.
Okay.
Yes, and ours is to collaborate directly with government, media, private sector, media like I am here, and the academia, where we use a lot of universities. In fact, most of our focal point areas in different provinces are actually higher institution of learning.
Okay.
Yeah. So also the legislature, which is parliamentary committees. We appear before them from time to time on topical issues. And when Parliament is open, actually it's almost every fortnight that we have to appear before them. We work under or operate under four thematic areas. Others will call them pillars, which include economic development. Economic development is broad. It's all encompassing, talking about fiscal policies. We're talking about income-generating activities to grow our GDP. We're talking about the mining sector. We're talking about tourism as well. On governance, that's the second pillar. We look at good governance and fostering good governance in the country. We look at information that reaches the general public on what policy or what government policy is. So we also convene platforms as PMRC to offer public lectures and just offer public awareness on issues that concern the general citizen regarding to governance. And under governance itself also, we look at the way other countries are performing in terms of governance and democracy.
Okay.
And we offer recommendations from such findings.
All right.
The third pillar being the environment and natural resources. That again will also encompass the mining sector, talking about the environment, talking about the cleanliness of towns, cities, where we actually work with councils as well. So that's the one that encompasses that. And then there's also a fourth pillar, which is social protection.
Okay.
We look at issues of social justice. We look at issues of human development. We look at livelihoods in general, and working very, very much closely with the Ministry of Community Development and other aligning ministries when it comes to offering a best service delivery to the people of Zambia. So with these thematic areas, you can see, Mr. Chatewa, that we actually cut across all sectors when it comes to policy, public policy to be precise.
Why is it important that there is an issue of monitoring policies and also doing researches? You mentioned that you work with academia, you mentioned you do case studies comparing countries both mm-hmm. for success and not so successful stories. Why is it important for a country such as ours to have this think tank in place?
Yes, a very, very cardinal question. It is important for a country to have at least independent arms or independent think tanks
mm-hmm.
Because that way we offer an independent voice, an independent view, and mm-hmm. also solid advice. The Patriotic Front, in their cleverness mm-hmm. and their want, in their zeal actually, mm-hmm. to want to give the people of Zambia what they promised
mm-hmm.
during the campaigns before, prior 2011, prior making government,
mm-hmm.
Or forming government rather, is they said, when we enter government,
mm-hmm.
because of the so many bureaucracies,
mm-hmm.
sometimes you shy away from what you promised the people, mm-hmm. what the needs are from the grassroots all the way up to decision-making levels.
Mm-hmm.
So when you enter government, you find that there's this is how we run the ministry. That's mm-hmm. how it is. There's a system in place.
Okay.
And that system you cannot do away with.
Mm-hmm.
So having an independent think tank to advise, actually it's not actually only to advise on good things. If there's a bad, it is our mandate actually to say, look, our ruling party or our government, this is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
If we go that way, we'll land in a ditch. If we go that way, we'll not serve our people correctly. But if we go this way, according to our findings and according to our research,
mm-hmm.
or according to the best model practices that we have, that we can adopt from, let's say, Botswana or Namibia on certain issues,
mm-hmm.
then we will increase value in our economy and our people benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So very, very important that think tanks are actually in place. We are not the only ones. There's also ZIPA.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a public policy think tank. We have Economic Association of Zambia.
Yep.
It's a think tank on its own.
Mm-hmm.
We have several others that are think tanks, actually, including CSPR, which is a civil society organization, but it also offers recommendations, good recommendations when it comes to the economy. For us, it cuts across all policies because, like we said, we are having the biggest mandate
mm-hmm.
when it comes to policy, and I think we are on the right track. Other countries, such as the US
mm-hmm.
and other big governments, China inclusive, the UK, they have serious think tanks such as ours
mm-hmm.
that actually drive a backbone
mm-hmm.
of a government so that a development agenda can be on course.
Can be on course. Now, in your explanation of where it came from, you say it is birthed from the Patriotic Front. So how do you maintain objectivity? How do you maintain a balance? How does your loyalty come in that regard as a think tank?
Our mandate is self-explanatory, so it's very, very easy and simple.
Mm-hmm.
Our mandate is to offer recommendations on policy, viable recommendations
mm-hmm.
to the government or to different government departments and mm-hmm. to the presidency
mm-hmm.
and to the party.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
On policy. So recommendations will come after research.
Mm-hmm.
And our findings are based on facts.
Yeah.
That's why we are a research institution.
Okay.
So it is very simple. So if there's a negative finding,
yeah.
we'll present it.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a positive finding, we'll present it. And then from there, we'll draw the way forward.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, it's very, very simple. We can't be. We are not here to oppose. We are not birthed to oppose
mm-hmm.
The same entity that put us in place in inception. But
mm-hmm.
at the same time, we are not here to massage the same entity that put us in inception, because they had the view that we have to have a research institution, a research arm, to give us facts whenever we need information.
Yeah.
So it is. There's no clash there. We don't have such problems as in to be independent, or because we operate autonomously.
Yeah.
We are a standalone think tank.
Think tank.
Yes. So.
Because I was gonna come to that. Mm-hmm. In terms of the composition, therefore, of the center. What kind of characters do we find there? Are we looking at technocrats, or are we just looking at hi, Chatea, I saw you in a green chitenge. Can you please come to the center?
Okay, Mr. Chatea, I'm sure you have dealt with PMRC.
Yes, I have.
Yes.
But I asked this question, mm-hmm, for the sake of our listeners, because we're looking at the mandate, you know. Yeah.
Indeed. So PMRC is composed of a pool of experts.
Mm-hmm.
Pool of experts. So ours are economists and also social workers,
yeah,
combined, and as well as communications experts, so that we can disseminate information, because we have so much information. Also, part of our mandate is actually to explain policy,
mm-hmm,
to the citizens, so that they can understand,
yeah,
what, for example, a statutory instrument is,
mm-hmm,
what is SI 55, and what does it entail?
Yeah.
How does it benefit me, a common Zambian?
Mm-hmm.
So we are composed of serious technocrats.
Uh-huh.
About if they are partisan or not, I don't know, because I think Zambia is a democracy, and so they have a right to belong to whatever. But then what they know is what I am comfortable with is that you are a friend of the party, of the ruling party, because we have to give information to the ruling party and help the ruling party, which is in government, help government's development agenda,
yeah,
even to the people. So ours is actually
to complement what is being done.
So it's experts,
yeah,
who are friends of the government,
yeah,
at every given minute,
yeah,
every second. So when it comes to to maybe partisan politics, we're not involved, because mine are technocrats.
Yeah.
For me, I am involved because I'm PF.
You don't mince your words,
do
you?
Maybe I'm the only one who should be talking about it openly.
Yeah, you don't mince your words on that.
Let's
come to the other part. Mm-hmm. A number of researches you have done and recommendations, whether it was on over the energy, mm-hmm, the energy issue, the upward adjustment. We saw you release a policy document, infographics, and everything. Now, are the Zambian people receptive to, or are the Zambian people interested in following up on matters of policy?
Yes. Now, yes, we have seen that Zambians are very much interested in following matters of policy, because we have a lot of people coming to knock on our doors to ask for infographics. As you know, PMRC, we are actually one of the few institutions that unpack information, that endeavor to unpack information for the lame person to understand.
Yeah.
For example, the budget has just been presented.
Yeah.
We unpack the whole budget, that whole thick document,
yeah,
into just one leaf,
mm-hmm,
and produce it. So even bus conductors, we have actually had testimonies where a bus conductor says, "Oh, Mamdala, have you seen this? This is what the allocation is for education.
Yeah.
This is what the allocation is for the health sector this year or next year to come."
Yeah.
So the information is just put on one leaf,
mm-hmm,
unpacked. Just cardinal things to understand,
mm-hmm,
and there you are. You have the information. You don't have to be a technocrat to understand what is held in your budget. We also produce the citizens' budget, where same thing. We simplify the information,
mm-hmm,
for you and I, who are not economists, to read through and also understand what is coming for our country.
Yeah.
Other than that, we have been holding or convening public lectures throughout across the country in different provinces, and we have seen overwhelming response. People want to know what government policy is. People want to know what, for example, what the Bill of Rights contains.
Yeah.
What is contained in there, and what does it mean to perhaps my grandmother in the village?
Yeah.
What does it mean for my son who's growing? What does it mean for our friends on the streets?
Yeah.
So people are interested in knowing what policy matters are. We have youths coming to ask questions. Oh, what? Well, can we have a copy of the National Youth Policy?
Mm.
Because I would like to see what is there for me.
Yeah.
Okay. So with our involvement and getting the public to understand policy, we have also increased
the awareness. But how would you rate the willingness of the general citizenry to participate in the whole policy issues, whether it's responding to a call to action, it's coming through for a town hall meeting? How do you rate just the ability and the appetite of the citizenry to come through when it comes to issues of policy?
We have not really recorded high rates of apathy when it comes to policy.
Okay.
Yes, because you and I are looking at it from a technocratic point of view,
mm-hmm.
where we are talking about policy, deep policy, and documents. But then policy, what is policy? What is public policy?
Mm-hmm.
Public policy is, okay, am I having safe drinking water?
Yeah.
So that is a conversation that is ongoing in our communities every day.
Yeah.
Whether it is in Chibolia, whether it is in Kabulonga, whether in Chisokone Market, or in Livingstone Market, or in Chipata, or in Chadiza. Trust me, people are talking about policy matters every day.
Mm-hmm.
That is policy. Health. Am I going to be tested at home? Is the clinical officer coming after me at home now that there's a pronouncement of the mandatory testing?
Yeah.
Or is it when I go to the hospital for a headache? You know, is that when I will receive also testing now that it's mandatory?
Mm-hmm.
So those questions, that's policy. That's bordering on policy. So the conversations are ongoing. People are talking every day about policy.
Yeah.
Yes, marrying it to service delivery, of course. So you can imagine it's a daunting task.
It is a daunting task.
To actually be in policy, because that's where politics are bordering. That's where social warfare is bordering. That's where livelihoods, human development, poverty reduction, everything is found. So your life, Mr. Chatewa, and my life is they're all guarded under
All right, there's a text here from Martin Mletwa in Livingstone. It says, morning, Chatewa and Ms. Teka. I don't think it is possible for you PMRC to control your party when they do something wrong. I disagree with you. Were you benefiting? Where we go? It's difficult. At where you are benefiting, it's difficult to control. So they are saying you can't control and you can't tell them. Maybe for the sake Martin in Livingstone.
Mr. Martin in Livingstone, thank you for your text, but we are not here to control. We are not here to control at all.
Yeah.
And let me just go back to why we were put in inception in the first place, why we were created as a think tank.
Yeah.
I said we were created to complement. I like that choice of words. It sums up everything. And supplement.
Yeah.
To supplement is where the government is maybe having an oversight. Then we have hindsight, insight, and foresight together.
Yep.
Then we bring it up, and then we give a recommendation, a viable recommendation,
mm-hmm.
to government, or at least even if a policy pronouncement has been made.
Mm-hmm.
For example, on the issue of the 21-year
Yes, that's a good example, because that's something that is
by the
trending
of gender. Yes. So with that, PMRC said, wow, okay, this pronouncement has been made.
Mm.
But then again, that's to show political will. It's not something that was done in bad taste.
Mm-hmm.
No. It is to show political will to fight against child marriages, isn't it?
Yeah.
So as a think tank, we are saying, okay, there is political will and this pronouncement has been made. But there should be steps that will be made,
mm-hmm.
okay, to realize, in order to realize this pronouncement or to make it actually work or for it to be implemented. Is it possible that this can be implemented in a Zambian setup?
Yeah.
Then you go back and start looking at the laws. What do the laws of Zambia say?
Yeah.
How about NRC issues? Ministry of
Home Affairs
comes in. Ministry of Justice comes in. So all that kind of thing. And then you have to go to Parliament. Parliamentary committees have to debate. So with that, you will need information. That's where PMRC comes down. Gather necessary information. Is this necessary? Is it proper? Okay, is it going to work?
Yeah.
Okay, so after doing that, we send in the recommendations. Then themselves as parliament, they will debate the issue and then they'll come up back with an informed decision. They will not debate without serious information, because we are here as a think tank.
Yeah.
And actually, we do not only offer recommendations to the Patriotic Front, because parliament is consisting of different, a diverse kind of people,
yeah.
from opposition, from independent sphere, and also from the ruling party. But then these committees are not only for the ruling party here, they are mixed.
They are mixed, yeah.
Yes, they are mixed. So there's a delegated a legislation committee.
Yep.
It's mixed. Actually, you have PAC, which
mm-hmm.
is headed by an opposition member. It's mixed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you have estimated accounts committee. All that also is a mixed with different people from different backgrounds, different MPs, members of parliament.
Yes.
So we offer these recommendations to these people. They are not ruling party, no. Then they come up with, they have informed decision, they come up with the right legislation pieces that drive this country forward.
Okay.
So you can imagine ours is not to tame the political party as the ruling party as he has put it.
No.
It's not our mandate. Ours is to give recommendations, findings on policy matters. Whether the Millennium Challenge account is working, we're going to make an assessment and why and how that account has helped the country when it comes to water and sanitation in Lusaka,
yeah.
and why this pilot must go, maybe if we feel it should go on countrywide, and the country should source for money,
yeah.
for improved water and sanitation for our people. That is another story.
Yeah.
That is actually the cardinal story in here.
Yeah.
So us taming or offering checks and balances beyond policy,
never cross that line.
That's not us.
There is Dixie here who writes, good morning, Mr. Eka. Who pays your bills for your operations of your organization? They didn't say where they're texting from. It came through WhatsApp.
It's not a secret, so I'll answer that one.
Yeah.
The bulk of our funding comes from development partners.
Okay.
That's the bulk of our funding.
Okay.
It comes from development partners. And
both locally and internationally?
Locally and internationally, and
okay.
mostly it's the international ones that are also based here in Zambia.
Okay.
And also we have serious partnerships with other think tanks that sponsor our
operations.
Our operations as well as topical issues, especially when it comes to international lectures, where you just find a donor comes in and they want to sponsor something. Maybe it's something that's under their operating area,
mm-hmm.
or focus area,
mm-hmm.
and then we carry it out on their behalf, because it's bordering on policy, and so it's a win-win situation for us and for them.
Yeah.
So we have defeated that has really, really helped us, the UK government through DFID.
Yeah.
And we've also had support, serious support from the Chinese government through the embassy here in Zambia.
Mm-hmm.
That one is an ongoing support, and they've even gone beyond offering financial resources, where they actually offer capacity building for our researchers, where we have had exchange programs. We go, and my researchers go to China and learn on how China came from a poverty-stricken country to actually a superpower.
Yeah.
So you can imagine, we also have, the American embassy has been supportive also as well. We have World Fish when it comes to us promoting diversification of resources, sources of income for the country.
Yeah.
And we've had so many partners on board.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the international ones. We also have local partnerships that we've engaged in. So and one of them is Ministry of Finance.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we do the citizens budget, and we appear before parliamentary committees, like I said, also from time to time. So every 2 weeks, you can imagine, and we're not paid by government.
Yeah.
But we endeavor to stand as a think tank. And because of our works are speaking for themselves. You can imagine we have so much support to keep going and to offer policy recommendations, policy discourse in this country.
All right. My final question in this hour would have to do with, there has been a concern from various sections of society that sometimes there is inconsistency on the part of the government when it comes to policy pronouncements.
Mm.
How does your organization help in creating consistent and also predictable policy pronouncements on all the matters that you do look at, whether it's issues to do with social justice, whether it's issues to do with the growth of the economy or diversification thereof? Just how does the PMRC help out in that light?
Right. So to start with, policy inconsistency has been a very, very serious problem, not only for Zambia but also for other countries in the region or even across the globe. To sum it all, it's a global problem.
Yeah.
Yes. So now, how is policy monitoring contributing to this, and how is our government performing on policy inconsistency or trying to curb it? PMRC for a long time has been advocating for policy harmonization.
Mm-hmm.
And our making noise, if I can put it that way, and our cry has been heard. Because we have seen that this has been translated into, has actually been captured rather in the 7th National Development Plan, and what is driving what the uniqueness of this 7th National Development Plan right now is the fact that the government has now said we are moving from a silo way of
business,
doing things,
mm-hmm.
To the more integrated approach.
Okay.
So if you are going to integrate policies and developmental outcomes from different government ministries,
mm-hmm.
For the sake of policy harmonization, then we are winning. Then we will see less policy inconsistency. For example, I'll give a very practical example that happened recently.
Yep.
In the recent past, Ministry of Agriculture.
Yes.
Apparently, I'll say apparently because I looked for a statement, but I did not find it on how they put a ban to certain vegetables import of certain vegetables and fruits.
Mm-hmm.
Then Ministry of Commerce came on board and said, no, we are the only ones that can issue such a statutory instrument that can ban the importing of of these fruits and the said vegetables that have been banned.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So under pressure by a certain entity,
mm-hmm.
Farmers Union, Zambia Farmers Union,
mm-hmm.
to the Ministry of Agriculture to put that ban for the benefit of the local farmers. I don't know, someone made such a pronouncement.
Yeah.
And that was inconsistent
yeah.
to what Ministry of Commerce actually believes in, because Ministry of Commerce is the one that looks at trade and international trade and international policy on trade.
Mm-hmm.
So having said that, there was that serious gap, and that was a serious policy inconsistency.
Yeah.
So now bringing on board the new way of driving policy in Zambia through the new National Development Plan, which is the seventh one, we'll see less of that, because before there can be any policy pronouncement, I think line ministries actually will work together before that is actually made known to the general public.
Yeah.
So things are now becoming normal, and we hope to see a more harmonized policy discourse. Other than that, also Zambia is also taking a lead.
Yeah.
In promoting and fostering regional policy harmonization with other countries
okay.
under SADC. And the other day we actually heard the SADC Department on Policy, on regional policy, giving us their recommendations on how our country can actually harmonize policy with other neighboring countries in the region.
For the greater good of the region.
For the whole region, yes.
Let's go on with our discussion. Policy pronouncements. The biggest of them all probably comes from the topmost, the highest office in the land, which is the office of the president. Recently, he gave a speech, and we've seen on your website, we've seen on your social media platforms that you actually broke down the words and added picture and color to them in what we refer to as an infographic. Just bring us up to speed. What were some of the highlights that you picked from a policy monitoring point of view in the presidential address?
Right. We're talking about the presidential address that was actually made a few weeks ago when the president, the Republican president, President Lungu, opened parliament with the theme moving towards a prosperous, smart Zambia in peace and tranquility without mm-hmm. leaving anyone behind.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say I like how this theme was coined. Because even at the 72nd General Assembly of the United Nations, it was about sustainable development and leaving without leaving anyone behind. So the focus of the president not to leave anyone behind and to take everyone along in moving upwards and forward for development is actually elating. Now, most of the things that he talked about was actually highlighting the scores of government when it comes to economic development
yep.
and perhaps economic diversification and job creation for the past 1 year and aspirations moving forward. So so there's been at least about 700 direct jobs that have been created, that is under the tractor assembly.
Mm-hmm.
We have also seen the additional about 8,000 land allocation under the land irrigation.
Yeah.
We have seen the mango processing facility in Eastern Province, and that one also is potential potential employment creator. We've seen the palm oil plantation processing that the president also highlighted. He talked about investments, the processing facilities. And under diversification, he also spoke about supporting crop and livestock and fisheries. And for fisheries, he's quite actually very passionate himself.
Yeah.
And he has some ponds, I believe. And also, this is to try and improve fish production or improve the general aquaculture.
Okay.
And with that, PMRC has produced a policy brief called Blue Economy. Understanding the Blue Economy, issues of aquaculture,
yeah.
and how Zambia is actually landlocked, but mm-hmm. also land linked.
Mm-hmm.
We have neighbors that are actually having shores.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where we can benefit from, and we have the Capri Strip.
Mm-hmm.
That one also
in Namibia.
Indeed, that can actually help us improve our blue economy, aquaculture, and enhance fish production in our country for the growth of our economy and also for nutrition, to reduce stunting, malnutrition, and all those kind of things.
Yeah.
So undermining, the president actually talked about the implementation of the development of the new mine policies, and he called for reforms in the mining sector. And he also appealed to ourselves and other think tanks to research and give viable recommendations that will make these reforms successful. And he talked about the build of capacity of small-scale miners. Government will continue with the implementation of the development mineral capacity building program.
Mm.
That program will be fostered under the Ministry of Mines itself. And online system that links with the Ministry of Mines with the Zambia Revenue Authority, he said how this is now operational, and through the system, most large copper mines will be reporting their production levels.
Mm-hmm.
So this is for broadening tax base as well. So, and then he highlighted also on how government will hasten the review of the petroleum, and this is already ongoing under the Ministry of Energy. PMRC is part of the team of experts that's offering findings,
yeah.
on exploration and production of petroleum in Zambia under Act Cap 440 of the laws of Zambia.
Mm-hmm.
So he spoke passionately about resource boards and facilitating their establishment as government. And he spoke about tourism and the facilitation of the establishment of community resource boards themselves to promote safari and photographic tourism,
mm-hmm.
and government coming in to restock national parks.
Mm-hmm.
So I had during break the gentleman talking about tourism and how other sections of society are given, well,
what is deserved to be preferential treatment, yeah.
Yeah, in hunting,
yeah.
Certain animals. So even that alone, the president talked about how government is passionate about empowering its own people,
mm-hmm.
in terms of tourism, but also reducing poaching. And he also talked about the phases of the Mamba coal power plant becoming operational in December, that became actually operational in December 2016.
Yeah.
That's adding about 300 megawatts to the national grid while creating about 1,800 direct jobs.
Direct jobs.
These
yeah.
are direct jobs.
Yeah.
And they're also indirect jobs,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, which are short term, maybe 3 months, and, you know, casual workers.
And suppliers and all?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, on domestic and international trade, the president spoke about the national trade policy, which is being developed, that will seek to promote both domestic and international trade, and with a view to transforming Zambia from being an exporter of primary products to a net exporter of value-added products. So this is where now we refer to Mr. Chatewa, we refer to what I had spoken about earlier of the issue of Ministry of Agriculture and wanting to ban the import of certain fruits and vegetables.
Yes.
Yeah. So this national trade policy will cater for such problems so that in the future our farmers or our local producers are more involved and are given special preference in producing certain goods and giving them market.
Mm-hmm.
So to ensure sustainable financing on this is under road maintenance, the president spoke about government embarking on the road tolling program, which covers toll gates and way bridges and ports of entry.
Mm-hmm.
It was recorded approximately about 1.6 billion that has been collected between November 2013, when the program was launched, until about July 2017. So if you can imagine, this toll gate system has brought so much to the table of GDP, gross domestic product, for the country. So when
on the issue of the toll gate, because I was listening to the submissions by the Honorable Minister of Local Government, Vincent Mwale, Member of Parliament. He did mention, I think the order, it must be the day before yesterday, when a number of parliamentarians were asking to say, where are you going to get money to do our roads in this area? And he kept on referring to say, we have projected that we will have a significant amount of money coming in from the toll gate system. So it is a positive after all.
It is a very huge positive, if you ask me, because that way we are creating a sort of a revolving fund in road maintenance and also road building in the country infrastructure development. Before we can even talk about health and amenities, before we can even talk about livelihood change, we should talk about infrastructure development. Because with infrastructure development, if we are going to have a good road that will take you to the clinic, if you're going to have good road for transport, for to transport your goods as a trader, if you're going to talk about perhaps even manufacturing industry, we need infrastructure. We need state-of-art hospitals for our people to actually access good health facilities.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me and for PMRC, infrastructure development is key to human development. It is key to livelihoods. It is key to national development as a whole. So the toll gates is really, really adding value. The toll gate system is adding value to our economy and creating a revolving fund over there. And so that same money can be used to build more roads is something that's a positive for our government, and would like to see more of such initiatives that will bring back money to the economy.
All right. While we're still staying on that, there was also the launch of the 7th National Development Plan. You talked about it in the first hour, but I also noticed that you did an infographic around the 7th National Development Plan. Huge sums of money put in, projected there. We're talking well in excess of 324 billion over a period of 5 years. And there were a lot of strong pronouncements. One of them that always comes to mind is when the president said, while launching the plan, said that he's ambitious that come by 2021, the deficit of GDP should be at 1.4%. And I said, wow, that's quite quite an ambition there. But from that policy pronouncement, what did you make of it as an organization?
As an organization, we think that ambition is actually quite attainable.
Okay.
It is attainable, and for him as the president, and for him who is actually the vision bearer of this plan,
mm-hmm.
for him, it's to go for the ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
And in this plan, Mr. Chatewa, there are five pillars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and these five pillars have all aspirations of the Vision 2030.
Mm-hmm.
And the Vision 2030 is talking about sustainable development, achieving sustainable development by 2030, reducing poverty.
Yeah.
So now, under the pillar economic diversification and job creation, we have seen how the National Development Plan,
mm-hmm.
in its implementation plan, which is the volume 2 of the 7th National
Development Plan.
Yes, because this 7th National Development Plan has a separate
implementation
plan.
Strategy altogether. And plan.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That strategy is what will drive the realization of the outputs of the National Development Plan,
yeah.
under these five pillars. Now, looking at the first pillar, which is economic diversification and job creation,
yes.
that already takes about 60% of that realization, that target that the president put across by 2021.
Yeah.
How?
Mm-hmm.
I'll give an example. We go into Eastern Province,
yeah.
and say, let's take a huge chunk of land,
yeah.
and put up a project, maybe tree planting.
Mm-hmm.
Already, the phase of taking out or clearing up the land,
yes.
that's job creation. That's a lot of young people,
mm-hmm.
or energetic men and women getting on the land to plow it and clear it out.
Yes.
Then there's planting itself. Those are jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because there's manpower there involved. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're not only talking about white collar jobs. We're talking about jobs, whether it's blue collar, dark collar, or white collar jobs are jobs as long as they're lucrative and they're to build up a citizen.
Yeah.
So going all the way to harvesting the timber.
Yeah.
The trees. Tree cutting.
Yeah.
Okay. And now coming all the way to the manufacturing industry, where now young people can actually take the actual
final product,
and begin to make desks,
yes.
chairs,
and
all sorts of things, or even export.
Yeah.
So that exercise alone, you can imagine what it can do,
yep.
to the country,
mm-hmm.
and bringing in GDP and also having money flowing around the economy.
Yep.
So that alone. Then there's also another aspect, which is the enhancing of human development. That's a pillar on its own.
Mm-hmm.
There's another pillar, poverty and vulnerability reduction, which takes about 20%,
yep.
of the budget that has been put aside towards the realization of the outputs of the National Development Plan. There's also creating a conducive governance and environment for a diversified economy, which is the governance system.
Okay.
And there's also reducing development inequalities.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this one under, obviously, Ministry of Gender, Ministry of Youth,
mm-hmm.
and Ministry of Community Development coming in, even local government as well, on reducing development inequalities and making sure that different places in Zambia are actually equal when it comes to receiving resources from central government, as well as within the decentralized and devolutionalized system. So, having said that, that ambition is not far-fetched.
Mm-hmm.
The goals of the national NDP can be realized, and come 2021, if this plan,
mm-hmm.
is implemented, of course, by the success of national budgets as well as the annual budgets, 2018,
yeah.
2019, 2020 itself, those national budgets, how this is going to be financed, how these plans and implementations and projects and programs are going to be
financed, yes.
is also very key. So we do hope, as an organization, that the financing will be in tandem to to what we hope for, and so that these milestones can be achieved.
All right, we are coming almost to the close of our program. This is a special edition of Chatback, brought to you with the compliments of PMRC, and our guest today is the executive director at the organization, Benedict Decker. Now, I'm gonna ask a very direct question here. From the numbers and the issues that you brought up, as PMRC, would you say our economy is growing? Would you say, because the 2017 budget was the part of the Zambia Plus, it was about recovery, it was about getting better. So as we recover, are we growing, or are we getting any better as a country economically?
I would say we are growing.
Okay.
We are growing. We have seen the likes of institutions such as ZRA,
yeah,
where it has really performed very well in just the past 10 months,
mm-hmm,
in broadening the tax base and making sure that companies and investors are paying their dues to the country. Millions and billions of kwachas have been collected,
yeah,
on behalf of Zambian citizens. The coffers is coming in, and also other than that, the economy is also looking very, very good, even for lay people like you and me,
yeah,
who come to work daily at 8 hours and knock off at 5 o'clock by the cutting off of
The prices of mealie meal?
Prices of mealie meals,
uh-huh,
have reduced. Education, we can see that the government is really trying, that our children are going to school almost for free, almost,
yeah,
free of charge.
Yeah.
So even that alone is a plus. The Zambia Plus,
yeah,
that initiative alone for the country to be able to actually offer its own terms on the term sheet when it comes to the when it comes to economical issues and the borrowing,
yeah,
and also how we expose our sovereign guarantees.
Yeah.
So for us to be able to have the biggest voice on the Zambia Plus and the road to economic recovery is also something that should tell you that this government is actually on the right course, and the economic development
is
very, very, very good. And I would like to just clarify one thing for my dear listeners out there.
Yeah.
There's this perception that in the last budget, Honorable Mutati said that our pay as you earn has been increased.
Yeah.
That's a perception.
Yeah.
That's a perception that should not be allowed to go out
around
there, because even the so-called learned people,
yeah,
are believing this lie. The removal of the monthly deduction of 255 kwacha,
yeah,
on employees' salary,
mm-hmm,
that is used to provide relief for the pension contribution, is what is going to be taxable, because the government has removed tax on your gratuity,
mm-hmm,
and on your pension.
Okay.
So having now removed this, they were trying to normalize that extra 255 that will come about to about 50 kwacha only,
yeah,
if it's taken out. So the proposed change intends to remove the exemption of that alone on our salaries. And this is to provide relief for the pension contribution, as the terminal benefits are now tax-free. And following the constitution provision, like I said earlier, which excludes terminal benefits from taxation,
yeah,
it is no longer necessary to exclude part of the pension contributions from tax. So the measure will align the provisions in the Income Tax Act,
mm-hmm,
to the provisions in the constitution.
Okay.
So that's really about maybe 30 kwacha, 40 kwacha to 50 kwacha, or even beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a perception, and PMRC would like to say there's no increase,
yeah,
on pay, and then it remains, and I think we are going the right way. Also, the improvement of fiscal policy, key fiscal measures for the period that's the next 5 years, is also promising,
yep,
because the country intends to develop robust funding systems, the continuing of the reforms, review, on targeting subsidies in fuel, electricity and agriculture as well. And recently, PMRC launched a very, very important document.
Yeah.
Which was on subsidies.
Yes.
On low-income
households,
as
yes.
well as the small enterprises.
Yes.
So
the MMEs and SMEs.
MMEs and SMEs, and that alone, that those findings alone given to the Ministry of Energy prompted us to actually do FS2 of such a report.
Mm-hmm.
So that now we can see the application of really how can ZESCO or the energy sector really help you and I or
alleviate the burden of the cost of living.
Energy and the cost of living as well. So we're headed to the right direction. Poverty and vulnerability reduction is there. There's increased budgetary allocation to social protection programs. Ministry of Community Development is getting more money from both our own budget allocation and also cutting across to also donors, GFID and other governments like the German government and others.
All right. I really don't like to do this. I'm gagging you, and it's also because I'm also getting gagged. We have come to the end of the program. I don't want to end it this abrupt. But just your final words. I hope we will have PMRC this coming week to discuss the budget in detail, as we normally do. But just your overall final remarks to the listeners that have been following us for the last 2 hours.
Right. Most importantly, last but not least, perhaps I can just highlight that government is implementing the Food Security Pact program.
Okay.
For a nation to survive, you need food security.
Mm-hmm.
Food first.
Mm-hmm.
You need a healthy nation. The expedition of the finalization of the social protection bill, that one is also cardinal under the Ministry of Community Development. For more information, you can come to PMRC offices in Kabulonga.
Mm-hmm.
We're on 36C Sebo Road. Also, you can visit our website. You can also visit our Facebook page for more information, and also to look out for our upcoming outputs, which is the 7th National Development Plan infographic Volume 2, because the Volume 1 is already out on the streets. The op-ed on electricity, this one comes out almost weekly in the paper. And also our work on industrial organization, which is mostly the lessons learned from China by our researchers. That one will also be put out, the basic needs infographics.
Yeah.
This we are looking at now. This is under social protection, of course. Or infographic on dual nationality, so that we show people our recommendations so that they're in the know.
What it means to have dual nationality.
In fact, what it means to have dual nationality, but also to show that think tanks are giving these recommendations and government should be compelled to adopt certain best practices from our findings and all basic needs infographics, tourism policy analysis. We have a lot coming up, national agriculture policy analysis, state of the economy for infographic. Now, the state of the economy, that's where we are going to sum up everything and what you were asking me about.
All right. So I'm really, really sorry, Madam Executive Director. You should consider preaching, or you should come and co-host chat back with us. We've run out of time.
Time next time.
Yeah, we'll give you more time to
explain what policy
is
and
all
my
about.
Researchers who are very professional are actually available anytime to explain this to the general citizen and the general public.